Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, blind dating.
It's a 50-50 chance, in my opinion. It's 50-50. You may get a good person, you may get a devil.
I mean, are we looking at it from hygienic perspective? All right, so kissing on a blind date, is that a good strategy or not?
Well, blind dating is a social engagement between two persons who have not previously met, usually arranged by a mutual acquaintance. This is according to Wikipedia.com. So tonight on Let's Talk, we will discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Well, first, welcome to the show, my colleague in the house, Ayan. Welcome aboard, Ayan.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to the show, my colleague, Salem.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. And, of course, our regular guest, Mr. Al-Hassan. Welcome aboard, Al-Hassan.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're
glad to be here.
Sure. Blind dating is tonight's topic here on Let's Talk. So, when someone meets somebody new and that has been arranged by somebody else, what do we call that? Isn't that blind dating? Well, at least for Africa. So I spoke to Rawlings Datir from Abuja, Nigeria, and I wanted to know his take.
I think it's fun, except that I think it becomes more fun if the dating possibly results into courtship in the later stages.
Right.
But if it's simply the dating and all, then I think it's fun.
Okay. It's a lot of fun, of course, for sure. But some people say that they don't even want to try to go on a blind date. Some people saying, just like you say, it's adventure and exciting. So some ladies that I have just gone through their experiences, I was reading around somewhere, they said it's very, very hard to get out of a blind date. And some people say it's very easy. All I do is just walk out. But what do you think? If you are in a blind date and you don't like it, what do you think someone could do?
Yes, personally, I think if one is in a blind date and you don't like it, right from the very first time, you just walk out of it before it gets... I think it would be a very easy thing to get out of it. However, sometimes the person or the people that organize that blind dating for the individual, maybe a very good friend of mine organizes a blind date for me and maybe a lady somewhere. And then because I would not want to disappoint the person that organized the blind dating, then I feel compelled to keep on the dating.
Right. So you might stay a little bit more, a little bit longer until the day is over for you and say, whew, thank you, this day is over.
And then I think it's really very easy to walk out of it. Maybe not walk out on the date, like the blind date, like on the very first date.
Yeah.
But possibly, of course, when I like it, then I look for having a repeat.
For another one, yeah.
If it's not something that I find interesting, then there's no repeat at all. That becomes the very first and the very last.
and that's what...
But definitely, if I like that very first experience, I will definitely look forward to a repeat and to have it again and again and again.
Of course, if you like it, why not?
Yeah.
The problem is when you like it and the other person doesn't like it. That's where the problem comes.
Oh, and then, of course, what's his name? Louis Armstrong, in one of his songs, he said, it takes two to tango.
Yes.
So if I like it, the other person doesn't like it, one person cannot do the tango.
Yeah, and then it's just not going to work out, right?
Not at all.
Not at all. And why do you think these blind dates are so popular in some places? Of course, you say in your part of Nigeria it's not. But why do you think in some places it's so popular?
I really think that it's because a lot of people are really very busy. And then lots of people try to find things doing and get themselves busy so much that they don't even have time to do the real, quote unquote, the real dating. That's why blind dating now becomes the norm, so to speak, in those places where blind dating is prevalent.
And you know, this thing is like catching fire in some other places where people like just to try it. Some people say, you know what, I might give it a try and see how it works out. So if it's introduced in your part, of Nigeria. Do you think it's because it's not popular now? Won't it be popular in the coming years?
Yeah, I personally think it's going to be popular in the coming years because, yeah, even though as I said earlier, I've not done blind dating before, but I have had lots of, I know that may be a topic for another day, but like internet dating, where you get to see people getting to date even without meeting the person physically and starting from internet dating and all that. I think blind dating is going to be really very popular.
You're exactly right.
But I think internet dating may have overtaken it.
Yeah.
And it will be very difficult for blind dating to catch up and even overtake internet dating.
Thank you, Rawlings Datir from Abuja, Nigeria. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing blind dating. So back to the studio. This is what I want to ask you, my panel here. Some people tell me we don't have blind dating in Africa, but I do believe we have blind dating. So tell me something. If someone is inviting you to meet somebody special and you have never met him before, this is maybe your aunt, maybe your friend, maybe your brother trying to hook you up, what do you call it? That is blind dating. So if you are hooked up, and it is somebody you don't even like, what are you going to do? Salem, let's start with you.
All right. So just a quick disclaimer. I've been out of the dating scene for a very, very long time. I want to start that way. But what is the difference between, you know, actually sitting for a couple of minutes with someone you've never met before, no strings attached, and then you size them up and see if they're going to be fit for what you want? You know, first impression matters, right? What is it? Blink, 2 minutes, you figure out who you are going to like immediately. But that also has been applied in different parts of Africa, be it from the extreme case of arranged marriages to, you know, your cousin or your mother or your neighbor trying to match you with someone you probably might not even like, right? And so what's the distinction? Maybe the distinction is like you won't be assigned to marry someone. You just meet for like 10 minutes. And then you have the opportunity to decide if you like the person or not, be it, you know, aesthetically, visually, or, you know, if you're compatible, personal, you know, choices that you have. I think that's the distinction for me, from what I understand from outside.
I only got introduced to it when I got to college.
Okay.
You know, growing up, whilst in the journalism school, I happened to be perching at one of the notorious residential halls at the University of Ghana. Mm. And whenever there was new, you know, batch of students coming in, it's part of the package of introduction where there will be something they call socialization.
Okay.
You know, it's part of it where it's part of the orientation, and normally it takes the form of informal, you know, introduction. Okay. And normally being commandeered by the SRCs of various campuses, the Students Representative Council, because this is about youth. And then you just go out into a certain arena on campus.
And you meet a lot of ladies.
You meet a lot of ladies, and, you know, they call it socializing.
Yeah,
you know,
socializing. I like
socializing.
That. You know, I'm also a socializer, but don't get me wrong. When I socialize, it doesn't mean I'm looking for women. I just socialize because I am a socializer. But anyway, I want to hear from a lady, another lady in the room here. When it comes to that blind dating, you know, as African aspect, what do you think is happening?
You know, I'm not a historian that blind dating was invented in Africa. I think we invented it and the West gave it a name. But I definitely think that blind dating goes way back. And if you think about it, it's extremely effective. I mean, you know, you were talking about maybe your aunt or your best friend, you know, hooks you up. That means that they've already vetted the person. And you know, so you have a mutual connection already.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as Salem said, it can be pretty awkward. You know, it definitely can be awkward, but it's extremely effective simply because both parties of the date have been vetted by someone already, someone who said, I think you two would be good with each other.
Mm.
But yeah, no, I definitely think that blind dating, arranged marriages is an African thing. And I do think that it's very effective.
Wow, very effective. Salim, is that
my opinion? Okay. My opinion.
Your opinion. I like that, though. It's a good opinion because some people say, you know what, this is nothing African. We have to know, we have to see, we see this in the developed world. But anyway, as you say, it is very effective. It's an African thing. I like your point because it's whole different from what I heard from the people I spoke to. But anyway, this is Let's Talk, and we are discussing blind dating.
Okoko Bioko. MC Galaxy.
Okay, back to you, Fox in studio. So what do you tell me, Salim? This is something that you have learned today. What did you think?
Well, I think about, dating back to African practices and these loaded terms like, you know, traditional and even the term blind dating. You know, in the West, for instance, from what I understand what blind dating is, you pay a certain amount. I don't think it's cost effective for for what already exists in the African context to be termed as blind dating. But in urban places, in urban cities, you notice there's a lot of modernization going on. So things are adapted. I mean, the way we speak, with language comes culture, all these things are dynamic. And so what works for other places might work for different places, urban places in South Africa and Kenya, you name it, But if you go in deeper and understand, let's say, go out to the villages and places like that, there are different components that we need to deconstruct to understand what that means. And so our colleague here mentioned about socializing events where university students would go out to look for, the perfect match or mate or, depending on what kind of relationship that they're looking for. The bottom line for every aspect of dating that we could see is that everybody's searching for love, security, at the end of it, security, love, recognition and respect within their community and society. And that brings a lot of baggage with it. So tradition, what does that mean in the context of Ghana? Tradition, what does that mean in the context of South Sudan? Tradition, what does that mean in the context of where I'm from, Eritrea? And so in tradition, you have religion and other aspects that come to it that maybe erase the other gender from actually making these decisions. You don't find speed dating facilitated for women, for instance, or by women in the continent. And if I'm wrong, maybe I'll be corrected. But and so when we're talking about it, are we talking about, the man looking for a mate? If that's the case, that's been around for a very long time. And sometimes with, silencing or even taking away the rights of the women. And so it depends on how you look at it. But if you look at it from, modern perspective of you pay a certain amount to be in a confined place where the participants are vetted, they come from a certain background, maybe, you share economic standards or educational level, and then you see if you like the person and you take it where you want to take it, I mean, there are cities that adapt that. South Africa, Kenya, you name it.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I was just checking something in South Africa and I saw that they had specific website asking for blind dating in South Africa. So for urban areas, it's happening and people are doing it. So coming to you, my friend Al Hassan, you spoke about that in Ghana, what you experienced, and what do you think? I think blind dating gives us a lot of things to explore, especially those, as Salim said, what context are we looking at? Are people making this a success story or is it not working? But all I'm trying to find out is, if you are in this situation, maybe you have not been in one. You don't have to be in one, but I'm just giving you an example. I just saw this one African comedian, very famous comedian from Nigeria. He met his little kid just for about maybe 1 second, 1 minute, and he was talking to a lady who was set up for a blind date. So while he was on his cell phone, a very beautiful girl came out of a Mercedes on her cell phone, and he thought he was talking to her, but apparently it wasn't. So when she came closer, the lady just passed, and he was like, oh my God, what's going on? So the lady was like, I'm coming, I'm just around the corner, I'm getting closer. And all of a sudden, another lady came out. And this lady was not so attractive to him. So guess what he did? All of a sudden, he changed the story. Hey, I'm talking to my mother. I gotta go. I'm talking to my mother in the emergency room. So come on. What would you do, Mr. El Hassan?
So basically, translation, it can be disappointing.
Okay.
It can be very disappointing.
Right.
Yes. But see, to be honest, there is something at the core of the marriage, the longevity of marriage of our parents and grandparents that beats our imagination.
Oh, yes, it does. Definitely.
And it's all started from this traditional aspect of blind date. You know, marriage, as we growing up, we understand marriage, it's actually consummated in Africa to maintain family honor and respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, getting exposed to Western books, Western literary content and stuff, we kind of picked up a certain disconnect between our way of life and those of the past generation. But we end up failing. A lot of us, we do fail. You know, we look at modernity, and modernity disappoints us most of the time. And look, my mom has been married to my dad for well over 57 years.
Wow.
Now my mom calls him Babamu.
Babamu, what does that mean?
Our dad.
Oh, so now he's the dad of everybody. Wow.
Yeah. That bitch, and this, she is like a cousin.
Mm.
It's a family marriage arranged. She is.
Oh, really?
She's a distant cousin to my...
Oh, it was arranged.
Yeah,
oh.
It was arranged. Okay. She's a cousin to my dad. My mom.
How do you call that?
like second cousins.
Second cousins. Okay.
You know, I mean... Yeah, they're second cousins.
Wow.
So everybody's looking for love, and how they interpret that, and happiness and love, and how that family formation after a certain, I don't know how many years have they been together, for instance, your example.
57 years.
57 years. I mean, look at it, you know. And there, however you define what success looks like, is it the number of years that you've been together? What does happiness mean for both parties? All these things we have to think about when we're looking at from whose perspective is being told as well. Mm-hmm. We have to also think about it.
Right.
But I'm so glad you told us the story about this disappointment, this friend that you had. Because another point I would like to raise is also the double standard that comes with looks, you know? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, there's a saying that goes that way.
Yeah.
Just because, okay, you know, who knows what is pretty to this guy that you were talking about,
right.
You know? And so I think these are very broad terms that we can always deconstruct, as I said before, you know, the number of years that you spend with someone. But at the end of the day, everybody's looking for love, you know, speed dating might facilitate it and might make it, you know, at least refine the search in that way and give you like a short period of time to decide if you like this person or not.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, like in that case, I think it's always very, very important to have an exit strategy whenever you go into these blind dates. Because whenever you agree to a blind date, you have committed to meet this person. Now, the reality is you might not like this person for whatever reason. Maybe they don't look as well as you would like to, or maybe the conversation isn't as strong as you would like it to be. Whatever the case is, you have the right to not like this person. But I think it's really important because it is a blind date. There's probably somebody, you know, who set you up. And out of respect for that person, you can't just ditch the person and say, you know what, I don't like you, so I'm just going to leave. I think you need to come up with an exit strategy that is respectful both to the person that you're sitting down with and the person who set you up.
Exit strategy. I like that. Yeah, exit strategy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, if I may piggyback on that. The exit strategy, it's in us as adults. We have, you know, relationship is so delicate. It's so funny sometimes that it's communicate itself. It's like a verb and noun at the same time. You know, love, they say, is now and a verb.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shumari, in our Washington studio with Salem, Al Hassan, and Ayan. Right now, we are discussing blind dating. I spoke to Ali Badai, One Mic Show host, and I wanted to know if he has gone on a blind date.
I mean, I've never been on a blind date before, but I've had people do it. But it's a 50-50 chance, in my opinion. It's 50-50. You may get a good person, you may get a devil. It's a chance you're taking. It's more like, you know, just putting your hand inside something and expecting to pull out something good without looking. It's like picking a card, you know, and hoping that it's a good card. It's like playing poker.
And when you don't pick a good thing, you're in trouble. But when you pick a good thing, you love it. So what do you think when someone goes to a blind date and all of a sudden, wow, this is something he never expected. And it's crazy. How do they do? What do they do? Can they pull out? Or how do you just pull out? Can you just run away? How do they do it?
I don't know. But, I mean, if you're going to a blind date, I think the other party should know that it's a blind date. And you may like it, you may not. So if it's not something good, I think it's just fair to tell the other person, I'm sorry, I don't think this went as I expected. You're a nice person, but I don't think we need to go on with this.
Okay. And what do you think when this comes out to be something that, wow, it wows you and you're like, I never expected it is this good. Or this person is very attractive. What can someone do?
I mean, you know, like if it's a good situation where it happens that you like the person and they like you back, that's like hitting the lottery. You know, that's like hitting a bonus. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's very rare to hit a bonus. But then if you have a situation where you like the person and you have to make sure that the other person likes you,
right.
You have to make sure that it cannot be a one-sided relationship.
Right.
So if both of you like each other, then, you know, well and good, you are destined to meet.
You're lucky.
Yes, you're a lucky person, like a lottery winner.
Thank you, Ali Badai, One Mic Show host. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing blind dating. Okay, back to you guys. One thing I want to know. There's awkward moments. You find this is awkward, you don't like it, and you want to find an exit strategy. But there's also the best moments that you're like, oh my God, you did not even expect this. This is something good. So when it comes to something that you really didn't know or something you really liked, do you kiss on a blind date? Because some men will tell you, hey, wait a minute, man, you don't have to wait. You see, you strike. Tell your emotions. Keep, let them know what you like. But we have two ladies in the room here. I would like this Al-Hassan, the ladies, to tell us first. Do you think kissing on a blind date is fine if you like it, or kissing is not a good thing? Let's go. Salim, let's start with you.
I mean, are we looking at it from hygienic perspective? All right, so kissing on a blind date, is that a good strategy or not? You know, the thing about finding, just like feelings, you know, how you cannot really control people's feelings, how you feel towards someone, that goes with what you just proposed to us right now, is that there is no a set, you know, list of to-do things that happens when you're meeting someone. If it's genuine, it really comes naturally. In fact, I believe that if it's choreographed, that it's going to come back to bite you. Like, you know, oh, what do you do? Like, let's kiss? Or, like, how do you go about doing that? It becomes awkward. I mean, depending also how long you spend with this person. Is it like 10 minutes and then you say, let's kiss? Come on. I mean, what's the setup? You know?
All right. Well, I don't know.
That's just my
opinion. Before you say, I got two. What do you think? Yeah.
It's chemistry is one of those things that you can't create it. You can't control it. Mm-hmm. It just comes when it comes. If it's not there, it's not there. And there's just so much that goes into it, like she was saying. So, I mean, you can't sit there and say, yes, it's good to kiss on a first date, or no, it's not. I mean, it's hopefully both parties are reading each other and they know if the kiss would be invited or if it would be rejected. But I mean, it just depends on so many factors. There's no way that you could put a rule on that.
Well said. I hear that. What about the man's perspective on this one? Al-Hassan, tell me about this.
Well,
we have some people who are very aggressive as men. Tell me something.
Well, I don't think it's a good impression to go that far on the first date. That might backfire and gives a wrong impression on the other person, because it may be misinterpreted as desperation, one. It may be misinterpreted as, you know, lust or something. Because I know normally women are so, you know, complex in thinking. They are so nurturing. Look, the issues about love, love and relationship.
Blaming on you. Okay,
let's see. It's a complex world to my sisters, you know. You can have a woman kiss on the first blind date. I mean, on the first date. It's rare.
But I've seen a lot. We have seen some places. I've heard things happening in these first dates.
I wouldn't say desperate. I mean, I wouldn't really take it that far.
Well, it depends on the chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay. It depends on the chemistry. The Arab people have one quote that they, if I may quote and translate, they said, Al-Wahu Jinudu Mudanada. It means souls in love are like army, come together. They are camped together. If they pick up chemistry, they gel and pick up chemistry, they hang in there.
Okay.
If they don't, they disperse. You know, it's all about chemistry. If you like, it comes.
Okay.
You know, so
I'm glad that he, raised the fact that desperation might be interpreted as desperation. The same could be applied to a man who tries to. I think earlier I talked about, like, you know, what if somebody doesn't get it. You know, you might think that you're like vibing and it's working, and the guy might think that you might, you know, just to be polite, maybe you're laughing and smiling just to like keep him, you don't want things to escalate so quickly. You know what I mean? Right. And maybe he thinks it's a lead. Uh-huh. Talk about, you know, simple and complicated way of processing information.
Right.
And so, I mean, it happens, like what you're saying. It happens. A first date kissing, whether it's on blind dating or not, it happens. If someone has like an irresistible lust towards each other or sexually attracted to each other, who knows? It might happen. Mm. But the bottom line is, what do you want that person? What kind of relationship do you want? Is, I think, what we're looking at right now. Do you want a long-term relationship with this person? Are you overthinking it? And things of that sort. If the natural chemistry is there, whether you have lust or sexual desire towards each other, immediately, I don't think it would falter apart if the chemistry is not there. Period.
So, as you say, it depends to what you want. It always depends. What are you looking for, Mr. Al-Hassan? That's what the lady will tell you. What are you looking for? You know, the problem is, what I've learned is, with our African brothers, this is what people tell me. They don't go straight to the point. And our counterparts in the U.S., they go straight to the point. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So I think...
Well, actually, I'm so glad you raised African brothers. I have something to say about my African brothers.
Today I'm dead. Please get a brother along with me next week.
It's so good that you raised the subject. It's really, really important, because whether you come to the West or not, whether you're modern thinking or not, there are some trends that carry that intrinsically, because that's all you know and things of that sort. Interpretation is different sometimes. You know, some people think that they're entitled to touch you or say things to you without even understanding there's any interest of some sort. And so kissing is a very important thing that you raised, because that's not the only form of expressing your interest towards someone. It could be poking them or touching them, whatever. And there are cultural interpretation of things that you can get away with and some you might not get away with. And so I'm glad that you raised that, because these are very complicated subjects. And, you know, even if there's no chemistry or there's chemistry, some people don't know the limits of where they should be or not, you know?
Thanks, and that's it for our show tonight on Blind Dating. A big thank you to my guests, and also a big thank you to my guests in studio, Mr. Al-Hassan. Thank you so much for coming, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right, and also thanks to my colleagues in the house, Ayan and Salim. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Sure, anytime. And of course, a big thank you to my producer, Jackson Mvunganyi. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942, and leave us a message. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for an exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week, punctuality. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.